For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday, April 28th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. And you know what? I would say, thank goodness it's Friday, but today I have an appointment with a surgeon. It's Go Under the Knife Friday. Strap in, folks. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume, because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran. And hey, how's everyone? And are you all ready for the weekend? I know that I'm kind of ready for the weekend. But hey, for all of you that are long-term subscribers, thanks for being part of our family here, being part of the Ohana. And for those of you checking out the show for the very first time, hey, thanks for stopping by. And of course, make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there, including the archive podcast. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. You can get that via the second column of the website. I guess it says podcast newsletter. It's a one-way type of deal where you won't get spam from anyone else. You just get the show notes from me. Hey, after the show, got done recording Monday night, put it up on the website, got up bright and early Tuesday morning and was on my way to work. And matter of fact, the phone rang in an area where I could not answer it. And I drove down the street a little further and stopped, and I looked at the caller ID, and it was a very familiar number. So I dialed them back, and sure enough, my appointment with the surgeon has been moved up. I was originally supposed to go May 19th to Tripler Medical Center to get surgery for a hernia, and turns out that they had a cancellation of some sort. So tomorrow's the big day. I report over there at 8:30 in the morning. I get checked in, and hopefully I'll be by mid-afternoon. My wife will be able to pick me up and bring me home, and I'll have some time off. But, I've got about 3 hours to drink any liquid. They told me midnight was a cutoff for food and any type of beverages. So we'll be stopping that at midnight. And, heck, you know, who really eats at midnight anyway? But, everything should go fine. That does kind of, you know, I was kind of like, oh, well, we got a round table on Saturday, but the show must go on. So, the Tech Podcast round table is still going to be happening, Saturday, and it starts at, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. We're going to be covering a Parallels workstation for the Mac. Portable podcasting, some gear reviews there, and then we're going to be covering a converting application on a smart drive. So we're going to have a guy in that actually has converted many programs to work on smart drives, and he's going to be taking us through that process. But tonight, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor here at the Geek News Central Podcast, and this podcast now has been brought in part to you by the new Honda Fit. The Fit is good. Grip the wheel, rev it up. All systems go. Feel the compressed fury of a rip-roaring, lean-burning, friction-fighting 1.5-liter VTEC power plant. A 16-valve, 4-cylinder dynamo. Punch it. Let the gas hogs eat your dust. The Honda Fit. And hey, thanks for Honda for being a sponsor now here at the Geek News Central Podcast now. Okay, what else do we got? We got a little bit of info here. Hey, any of you that have ever run a Shoutcast server, I'd like to hear from you. I really would. Because we're going to do some experimentation, and this kind of ties into some email that I got from some of you this week, but we're going to actually put a Shoutcast server up, and It's not for this show, but we might. I might use it for this show from time to time. We'll see. I don't think I can handle the concurrent connections or afford the license, a license number to be able to get you all in on a Shoutcast event. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a Shoutcast stream going into Second Life with content from the Podcaster News Network. So you'll be able to go over to Slack Street. That is the area that Eric Rice has built, and it's an amazing area within Second Life. And we're going to have, actually, we have a building up there that's got our banner on it already. And we're putting an office in, and there'll be a place in there where you can come in and check out PCN content within Second Life. I'm kind of calling it a social experiment. We're just going to play around with it and see what happens. So this is what I want to do with that Shoutcast server. And so any of you that are geekies out there that have done this, you know, it's relatively easy to run a one of these boxes. You know, you got kids that are doing it. It's not a hard thing to do. But this is what I want to do different. I want to be able to take content that's being submitted to PCN. We want to take that content, and as we send it off to our hosting provider, at the same time, we want to send it over to the Shoutcast server that we're going to have running. I want to be able to FTP it into a dedicated box, and then I want to be able to automatically update the playlist that the server is using so that we can keep the stream fresh with just, you know, latest maybe last 20 or maybe last 2 or 3 days worth of content. And I don't want to have it so we have to manually intervene. Everything I've looked at so far, you got to go in and manually update the playlist. Now, we've got the mechanisms to be able to create the PLS file, and we also have the capability of pushing it to a Shoutcast server. Now, the question I have to ask is, does anyone have an experience with auto-update of those streams? And if you do, that's what I want to hear from you, and point me in the right direction if you've got somebody that you've dealt with that's you know, a good service, because I don't necessarily want to run. We could set it all up to run on our servers now, but I don't want to impact the load on those boxes at all. We may have to at some point to put up a dedicated box in order to support the type of numbers I think we'll need in the future for other events, but anyway, that's it. Hey, I do have on the Geek News Central website some good information. First of all, I do want to thank all of you that sent me links. I asked a question on the new 17-inch MacBook Pro on the price, and got some great feedback from y'all. And I got an article that was over over on System Shootouts that compared the new 17-inch MacBook Pro with a top-of-the-line Dell computer, and they went down through piece by piece, and to tell you what, looks like that the MacBook Pro is well priced, and it's a good in comparison to the top end Dell. So I had not seen that before that, and so of course I was kind of struck initially by the initial price tag. You know, $27.99. If I went, Shoko's in the office here, honey, what would you do if I went out and bought a $2,800 computer, be it Mac or a Windows machine? What would you do? she said, go get another job. You know, that ouch. And it doesn't matter if it's a Windows machine or a Mac, it's a lot of money, and definitely outside of my budget. But you know, you look at the specs on those machines, you're like, man, they must scream. But anyway, good feedback on that. Thanks for everyone that sent that out. Also, there was a article that came out for podcasters. It's a podcast legal guide, and it's linked up at Geek News Central. I'll try to get a link up in the show notes tonight, but you can find it on April 26th, the posting. And it's some good info. Any of you out there that are creating content, you need to really, really go look at that, because it's going to help you in the long run. Also, let's see here. We've got the Second Life Shoutcast, got the podcast legal guide, talked about the MacBook Pro, or talked about getting surgery tomorrow. I'm going through my little notes here. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. The Neuros contest is continuing. And boy, y'all have just been filling my inbox. I'm not kidding you. This has been the largest response to any contest that we've had so far. And I did it. And some of you said, how come? Do I have to send a submission every show? No, you don't. All you have to do is send once. But I am changing the secret word after every show. I think I'm trying to get a feel for when all the submissions are going to be in. So today, the secret word is knife, K-N-I-F-E, knife. And so that'll be a secret word for the show today. And as the number of submissions drop off, then I'll know probably maybe we've milked you guys enough to go over there and look at that. But I know a lot of you have. I think I've got, I'm not even going to tell you how many entries there are because it may, there's still good odds to win. And yeah, hopefully we can do some more cool stuff like this in the future. But as always, we want to make sure that you save money on the show here. So keep your personal information away from spammers, hackers, and even your crazy ex-girlfriends or boyfriends. Private domain registration from GoDaddy.com protects your privacy by keeping your address, phone number, and much more out of the public database. Plus, as a Geek News Central listener, enter the code Todd, that's T-O-D-D, when you check out, and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. You know, I've got a couple of domains that I registered privately as well, just for the simple fact that was trying to, essentially, I didn't want the cat out of the bag on who is building what. And it's a name that may be in big demand right now. So I kind of kept it, I did it, you know, when the site launches, it's going to be obvious who owns the domain. But that's what I buy. That's how I use the private registration for, is if I have a project going on that I really don't want revealed who's developing it, that's where I use that for. Okay, what else do I have? I think that's it. I got a pile. I mean, a pile of content tonight and a pile of comments. Now, a lot of good feedback from all of you looking for submissions or for information on the show format. A lot of good feedback. And I must apologize. I tell you what, a lot of the times, many of you that don't know this, this show gets recorded relatively late here. And it's typically after I do a full day's work and then deal with everything else that's going on. And sometimes, yeah, I'm tired. And it comes out with mispronounced words or I misquote something. And I just want to apologize in advance. We're going to try to address that a little bit here down the road. So that keep the quality up, and as long as I don't irritate you guys too much on that stuff. And when I make a mistake, call me out on it, and it keeps me squared away, and makes me go back and readdress my show prep a little more, because you know sometimes it's I get a little rushed, so I don't want to do that to you. Okay, what do we have in the? Oh man, I mean I've got a pile, I've got a pile of news here, and some cool stuff for your camera. Now, how many of you have some very high performance cameras? I know some of you probably have spent as much money on your camera gear as you would on a small or on a luxury vehicle. I know there's a lot of people, you know, I have a coworker, he's got an unbelievable amount of camera gear. But the biggest problem a lot of people have is, you know, they have to take the memory stick out and they got to stick it in their PC and it just takes forever to download. But check this out. They're coming out with this new memory cards that have Wi-Fi built into them so that you no longer have to plug the camera or take the card out. It'll transmit via Wi-Fi into your system. Great for professional photographers that are, you know, essentially shooting all the time. The stuff can be accessed and downloaded in essentially real time. And then also for those of you that just hate cables. So it's called iFilm, and you can find it over at www.i.fi. They have some compact flash cards and some other memory sticks that are available, up to 1 gig in size. So check that out. And I'm sure that some of you gadget freaks, camera freaks will want to definitely get hooked up with that. All right, I've got a beta account on a website called Sphere. And it was actually supposed to come out and launch this week, but I see even today it's not up. But there's a good article on Sphere in searchenginewatch.com, and it's a new search engine that's going to be used to find articles for blogs. Obviously, it's going to be a blog search engine. And, you know, it's pretty cool the way they look at the metadata, and they look at the frequency of postings, lengths of postings, that kind of stuff, and they do a bunch of mix-up to really find good posts from blogs, and gives you a real good result. Hey, I do want to admit, I almost forgot. My wife put this on my desk, and she wants me to tell you all about it. And she is just, what do you want to call this? Do you want to call this an amazing product? She says, awesome. There's a product, and this is not a advertiser. It's just some free promotion for this company. Have you guys heard about these Neosporin scar solution? It's a silicone scar sheet. You know, when she got burned, what has it been, 2 weeks now? About 2 weeks, 2 weeks this weekend. I was really worried about what was going to be, what the damage was going to be on her hand, because a pretty good area of her hand had actually peeled. And some of it was just skin, but some of it got a little deeper. And the pharmacy lady told you to get this, right? Yeah. So it's called Scar Solution. It's a silicone scar sheets by Neosporin. Now, I've used the liquid when I had my surgery back in June of 2004 for my back injury, for my spine injury. We used this liquid portion of this on that scar back there, and you can barely see it today. It's still visible, obviously, because I got this, you know, 6-inch gash down the middle of my back. But I'm looking at her hand, just absolutely amazing. So. This is a good solution, and this is good for you if you've got existing scars that you kind of want to lighten. Check it out. Miracle stuff. Really, really is. Works good. Sorry to interrupt the tech news, but I saw this box laying here, and I had to tell you about it. Okay, Verizon's aggressive new spam filter is causing problems. This has been making a lot of news. There's been a lot of articles written about it, and I actually forgot to tell you about this on Monday, but it was on Slashdot. So it appears that those of you that are using Verizon's actually email accounts with your DSL are having a lot of problems. So my recommendation is, if you are a DSL customer with Verizon and you are using a Verizon.net email address, really you need to be careful, because make sure that people that are important know what your, give them an alternate address. You know, give them something on Gmail or one of the other services out there, because there is just lots of email going missing and people are complaining about it. So there is a way to get emails on a whitelist, but it takes a long, long, long time to get them on there. If you're a provider or if you're worried about it, you can go over to verizon.net/whitelist. And if you're blocked, you can request to get removed. So if you're a Verizon DSL user and you're using that domain, actually it's your email, drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com and let me know if what's going on there, if you're having problems as well. All right, there's a new site out, and I've just looked at it briefly tonight, maybe about played around with it for about 10 minutes, and it's pretty cool. It's called, I guess you're going to pronounce it Squeet, S-Q-U-E-E-T, Squeet, and it's at squeet.com. And it's a tool for publishers and readers of syndicated feeds. Now, if some of you would like to get emails of the Geek News Central contents, you can go over and set up a Squeet account. You can add the Geek News Central RSS feed to your list. And what will happen is I think you've got some sort of a, you can set the frequency if you want it daily, if you want it live. So as soon as I post something, you get an email for it. But it allows you to be able to get this content delivered to your inbox versus to your feed reader. Now, I know many of you probably don't use a feed reader and you would like maybe a daily summary of the content that we're producing. So this may be a good chance. I'll see if there's a way I can put an automated link on the website for you. But squeet.com, and it's good for both publishers and readers. And they've got a little feed buzz indicator at the bottom. So I think this site's going to take off. I think it's going to do well. And I got the link off of Robert Scoble's site. All right, I found an amazing article over on joeschmidt.com, and it's entitled, How Much Do You Google? And for those of you that are using the Google personalized homepage, did you realize if you're using that they record your search history from within that site? So as you're going in there and it's typing in a search, it's registering that. Now, there's some options within the setup to be able to turn that off, but this guy did not. He allowed Google to collect the information, and there's a link on there for search history. And he says it's a nice feature. And he says not only does it record what search terms you've queried, but also keeps tracks of the links you clicked on if any, in the results for each query. So he says, how much did I Google in 1 year's time? See you later, honey. She's trying to be quiet, open the door real close. But what the total was is he did 6,400 Google searches in a year. And as I was looking through this article, what I found amazing was it just lays out which days he actually did web searches on. Now, if I go here and look at December, he actually stayed offline December 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. That's good. Stayed off the 1st of January. So he's not a total computer addict. How many of you were on a computer on Christmas Day? And he also shows the total number of monthly searches. And he also has a link in there that shows how you can shut that off if you're using the Google personalized homepage. But very fascinating. How many searches do you think you do a year on Google? Or are you using Yahoo or MSN? And I can't remember the last time I did a search on Yahoo, to be honest with you. All right, how many of the Apple users are using Aperture? Well, there's over on ThinkSecret, you know, ThinkSecret's been pretty famous for revealing information coming out of Apple, positive and negative. And this one's not necessarily so positive, but apparently, the rumor is, and of course this comes from ThinkSecret, is they went in and essentially shut down the entire Aperture team. And the Aperture product had come underneath some criticism by users because it had been released as a pro tool, but yet was, as they said, kind of bug-ridden. But if you're an Aperture user, what do you think about this? That they have essentially shut down the division that was developing Aperture. Now, it doesn't say anything about whether they're bringing new people in, restructuring, or what, but there has been some people that have left the company in lieu of that. Now, in tandem with that, there's going to be a product coming out from Adobe called Lightroom, which is a beta that's available for Mac OS X users now. And they think that the concession or the coupon that Apple, the drop in price from $499 to $299, and now with a $200 coupon for people that are upgrading from 1.0, they think that is an indication that Apple's trying to kind of save the boat before Lightroom is released. And if anyone's seen Lightroom, I'd love to hear about that application. I have not heard anything about it up to this point. But if you're an Aperture user, why don't you let me know what you think about the program and some feelings back on that. Okay, over on the official Google blog, it says it's a great day for 3D. And last month they bought Atlas Software. And today they released it as Google SketchUp. It's a free version of 3D modeling software, which makes a longtime vision of making 3D accessible to everyone a reality. I do a lot of 3D modeling currently with some very, very high-end tools. Matter of fact, some of the 3D stuff that I've done in the past, the software costs probably as much as a car. That's how expensive some of the very high-end 3D programs are, and requires a lot of horsepower underneath the hood to run as well. But I'm going to go ahead and check this out. I'm going to see how well this application works. If you're interested in it, it's absolutely free from Google. It's called Google SketchUp. And it's a do-it-yourself for the hobbyist, and they're saying it's really for anyone who wants to build 3D models for use in Google Earth. And they also say go ahead and model that new kitchen or deck, landscape your virtual garden. I tell you what I like about 3D, especially when you're doing mechanical stuff, and the AutoCAD has a 2D feature, but you know it's 2D. But when you add the 3D dimension, you can roll and spin a device and look at, and you get the depth. It's really, really amazing. So, again, over on I have a link to this in the show notes at geeknewscentral.com. Those of you that are getting ready to do travel plans this summer, you may want to check out a new site called Sidestep, sidestep.com. It is, they're claiming it's going to be the web's leading travel search engine. And today they announced the launch of its latest category expansion featuring local attractions, activities, and tickets. And this company is the first and only travel search engine to leverage the power of vertical and local meta search to deliver this offering. Apparently more than 4.7 million travelers use Sidestep each month. Maybe I'll book some airline tickets with Sidestep for my Vegas trip in June. Hey, if you're in Vegas, I'm going to be in Vegas for a, I have to give a keynote at an educational seminar, actually a convention in Vegas. I believe the dates are June 12th and 13th. Be more than happy to hook up with anybody that's in the Vegas area. I'll be getting in the day of the 11th, and then I probably won't leave actually until in the very early morning hours of the 13th. So actually like probably 3 a.m. as I think is when the flight leaves out of there on the 14th back to Honolulu. So if you want to hook up in Vegas, I'll be there. Altel, Engadget iMobile has a very good article. Those of you that are possibly thinking about looking at a new phone carrier service, if you do a lot of traveling in the United States, you're going to find that depending on the service provider you have with your mobile, you can get into areas where even today you're still on, you could be on a roaming network. But Altel had this claim on their website that said that they were the America's largest network, so reliable you stay connected or we pay you back. Well, Engadget iMobile did a very in-depth review of the coverage, and this is the first time I've seen coverage of different providers stacked on top of one another, and it's pretty telling, and the Engadget's saying, all right, Altel, what is the deal with your ad campaign? And it's got a long list of comments, but for nothing else, this would be a good look to see, give you some coverage maps of the different carriers and give you an idea before you decide to make a change or you're looking for a new service. Chris Perillo has an article on his website, says canceling MSN Direct is, and he's labeling it PITA. I'll let you decipher that. But he has found that closing any account on Microsoft, including the Hotmail paid account, is a royal pain. And I thought to myself, yeah, I've got a Hotmail account, and I think I actually pay for it. But I think the last time I checked Hotmail email was about a year ago. So apparently I've been getting charged like $14 a year for their service and didn't even realize it. But he's tried to cancel it, and he actually has to dial a number into Microsoft to do that. And he's like, what is up with the deal with that? Is that like so 80s or what? So he wrote a pretty little, and you know, Chris has got some pretty strong relationships with Microsoft, so he's calling to the table there, and, you know, actually, the MSN Direct is a very interesting service. You know, I'm glad he could afford it. All right, here's something that's just totally blew me away. This is an article off of CNetNews.com. And here's the title of it, Rat on Your Pirate Boss and Win $36,000. The anti-software privacy group, the Business Software Alliance, is offering a $36,000 reward to anyone who informs on employers who use illegal or unlicensed software. All right, let's see here. You work for a firm. Maybe they've got a few applications that aren't licensed. And you call in and you turn them in. I'm sorry. You know what? If you're going to bust your boss, how long do you think you'll have a job? You know they're going to go headhunting. They're going to try to figure out who did it. You know, the community, the IT community is very, very small in that regard. I just cannot even imagine. You know, I'm very, very strict about it here. You know, there are times that my wife says, "Why do we have to have 4 licenses of this? Why do you have to pay for that?" You know what? Running a business and having software on a PC, you got to pay for it. You do. Absolutely have to, unequivocally. And yet, you know, to think that someone would this is nuts. $36,000 reward. And I'm sure what they're going to find is there people are going to snitch their boss out. Maybe someone gets fired and they're not real happy and they say, well, this is one way I can get back at them. You know, and this one should make of those of you that have companies out there that are running installations of software that are not licensed, maybe to think about this a little bit. Is it worth, you know, if they're going to pay $36,000 to an individual to rat a company out, then how much are they going to get you for unlicensed software? It's something to think about, isn't it? All right, looks like the discount season upon us. And, you know, it seems like every time that the U.S. taxpayers start getting their tax refunds back, have you noticed the amazing sales that are going on? simply amazing. My wife is currently in a remodel mode down in our living room. We've got some furniture down there that we've had as long as we've been married, and some that were actually when I was still a batch. And it was good furniture. I had some very good furniture early on. But she's saying, this is kind of, 14 years, it's time for it to go. So she's got some stuff she's going to be moving around. And she says, you know, it would look good down here. So here it is, fellas. You know, I've been holding off. We've got CRT TVs throughout the house. And no flat screens. The only flat screen that's in the house is the one on the desk here, the flat screen monitor I got to review. And she's like, you know, with this gone, we could put a flat screen TV in here. And she goes, if I sell all this extra furniture, she says, and if I get to a certain point, she basically says, if I get you halfway, honey, will you buy me a flat screen? Do you know the answer to that? Really, really, do you? I can't believe it. I about fell out of my chair. This is like the second time in a month that I have gotten the go-ahead to do some upgrades. And I had kind of even said on the show in the past, we'll wait. We're not going to do it. You know, we'll let the CRTs blow up. So, I don't know. We'll see if she can sell the stuff. And, of course, she was looking through the catalog, and she was looking at one of the advertisements. And this goes back to the article about how people are discounting everything. Dell now has discounts on desktop PCs by almost 50%. So if you're looking for a discount on a PC, you need to go over to Dell and, you know, just look at the circulars that come in your mail every week. There's a lot of discounts. But she's looking through a Best Buy article or Best Buy magazine and looking at all the different flat screens. And I've skipped them. I haven't even looked. I'll be honest with you. Like the first five pages of those are flat screen ads. I just 1, 2, 3, 4. I just skip them because I don't even look because I hadn't even planned on it. So here she is searching through. Yeah, pretty cool. But, watch those good deals. A lot of stuff coming out. Prices are still coming down. And, you know, from everything I'm hearing, and I've read that there's starting to be a glut of LCD displays. And it's a lot of factories are coming online. So just wait. The prices are going to come down even more. So I think I'm going to hold her off. And I'll keep watching the news and see where the trend is going. And, you know, maybe we can, you know, maybe I can hold her off in another year. And we'll see where we go from there. We'll see if I can hold out personally that long. All right, Slashdot is in the middle of trying to come up with a new design. You know, Slashdot has not had a site upgrade in, gosh, forever. So they're soliciting site ideas, and they've got three designs up. They've got, I looked at all three of them. I like the first one the most that he's got linked on here. It's from a guy, maybe it's a lady named Sujar Thomas, Sujar. And link will be in the show notes, but you can look at some of the ideas they've got for Slashdot. Pretty cool. All right, the script kiddies and all these Trojans and stuff that are floating around the net, people having unprotected computers and, you know, just all this garbage that goes on with Windows boxes. There is a new malware circulating on the internet that freezes a computer, then asks for a ransom paid through Western Union Holdings money transfer service. Now, there has been some stuff in the past where people were asking for just an amazing amounts of money, like $500 to unlock the software. But this is a $10.99 unlock key. So it makes you wonder, okay, $10.99, that's just most people probably would pay it. But at the same point, he says it's what's funny about this is that the person that's doing this bribery on people is saying, oh, and if you have problems uninstalling it, I will provide tech service for you. That is just, I just can't believe it. Keep your antivirus software up, keep your spyware up, you know, and you'll probably be safe. But another thing, don't use IE. But I just couldn't believe it. $10.99, that's the unlock fee. And you have to send via Western Union. I'm sure this will be investigated. All right. Tonight I got a chance to, it was really odd. I read I do vanity searches on Technorati, PubSub, Ice Rocket. And I found an article that I had talked about two shows ago. essentially, I was talking about a browser that was loading kiddie porn. And the article that I linked to was another guy's site. And essentially, the site was called Vital Security. And I'm going to be straight up front. Everyone know that Vital Security is a great site. It's a great site with great information and good info. But there was some misconception or something about the original article that got linked, and there was some confusion. But anyway, this guy said, hey, my site's a valid site. I don't link to this type of stuff, which he doesn't. He's got he had a site advisor link up on his site to show that the site is valid, and there's nothing that should not be linked there. But I'll put a link up in the show notes. You guys go over and check out Vital Security. Drop him a note and say, hey, I gave you two thumbs up on your website. I'd appreciate if you did that. I just don't want him to think that I was trying to call his site out as a problem. It wasn't. His site was the one that reported it and talked about how bad this software was. Good site, bad software. He did not link to the bad software. But that brings up a good point. The Site Advisor is a place where you can go if you've got a question about a website. You can put a link in, and it'll actually look at the site and see what's linked into the web pages and see if they can detect anything bad, and it'll come back and give a report. With that, they have a test on their website. It's called an analysis, where you can go through and you can do an actual check yourself to see if you can detect which site is a malware site or which site may have problems. It's a very, very good test, and I recommend everyone go through and do it. You're going to be surprised. I got caught on a couple of the questions in determining, oh, I thought that was a real site, and it wasn't. Take your time. Go through it. I think you'll learn a lot. No matter what browser you're using, no matter if you're a Mac user or a Windows user, I think it's a good thing to look at because of all the, you know, all of the phishing and everything else that's going on. So, again, siteadvisor.com, and then I'll have a link up to Vital Security as well as a great site. One thing I am trying to do, folks, I'm trying to keep the shows to a reasonable time. I'm afraid the length of the shows is growing too long. I know some of you have wrote me comments on it, and also I did get a couple of comments back on telling people that are listening to the show on the stream on where to find the website. And I want to explain what's going on there. We've got about 11 separate sites right now that have requested to take the show and put it on their stream. I agreed to it. I said, sure, go ahead and put it up on the stream, no problem. So during the show, I tell people to listen to the show, hey, go over to geeknewscentral.com, check out the website, you know, and I guess what I want to do is trying to educate those that are on the stream about a podcast and how they don't have to listen to the stream to get the show. So what we'll do is in the future is I'm going to start coming up with some better ways to explain it, give them some references on where to go to find out about podcasts, and we'll get some of these guys switched to listen to podcasts. You know, the stream is all good and well. Some of you can't listen to the show via a download. You have to listen to it via stream at work or whatever. So, again, that's kind of the reason for that. Not giving up the podcasting roots. We understand that's the medium to go to right now. But for all of you that are on the stream, make sure you check out geeknewscentral.com and Google Podcasts to find out what's going on about podcasting, and and start taking your content with you instead of and listening to it via the stream. Nothing against a streaming service. I want to thank them for doing that as well. Okay, there is a article on digital inspiration, and I don't know how long this one's going to last. I don't know if Microsoft is going to have it taken down or not. They're going to go after them. But there is a, basically, the people have figured out how to work around the Windows XP genuine anti-piracy stuff. So this is kind of, whatever a company does to try to keep stuff locked down is almost impossible. And they go through this step by step on how to work around this Windows genuine stuff. It's, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be an ongoing battle between those who are trying to ensure they get paid for their software and those that don't necessarily want to pay for the software. Now, on a good note, I received an email, and you have seen a posting on my website. Now, let me tell you about this. This is important. Okay, and the company who I got this from blew me away. The Consumer Electronics Association, I signed up at the Consumer Electronics Show to get on their email list. And I don't know if I'm a member. I don't think I'm a member. I'm just on their email list. And I get have very rarely gotten any email from them, but they sent out a notice talking about this Performance Act. It's House Resolution 2644 that restricts consumer media use. And so they are taking a stand, basically saying that DRM is not good. They need to stop this craziness now. And they want this Bill 2644 stopped. They really do. And this is what it's going to do. And this is what's really should make all of you sit up and listen, okay? This is important. S-2644 would prevent satellite radio subscribers from recording and listening to a program that they have paid for. You could not choose the artist and playback order for anything you recorded for your own personal use. This bill is sponsored by Senators Feinstein, Graham, and Majority Leader Frist, and might be introduced in the House as well. It's a Senate bill, sorry. It is yet another attempt by the music industry to deny consumers access to new technologies and content and to eliminate the right to private, non-commercial home recordings that citizens have enjoyed for decades. This came from the CEA. This is a first. This is, you know, they have finally woken up to what I and thousands of other people have been saying. You guys need to wake up. You need to stop this nonsense. You need to quit taking away fair use rights. You know, I'm serious. If they pass this legislation, this is going to be a strike at, oh, it's not going to be good. Not only that, buried within that legislation, you guys went over to live365.com. There's probably 500 sites on there that stream music. It's commercial music. They pay for it. They have a license with ASCAP, BMI. They pay for the streaming fee, you know, all that nine yards. That would become illegal. They would have to stream all that information encapsulated in digital rights management. So essentially, this passing of this bill, and if it was signed, could shut down the majority of live streams, even from radio stations, unless it was encapsulated in a DRM so that it absolutely unequivocally could not be copied. Well, we all know anything can be copied. So I have a link up in the show notes to this article. You need to get out there. If one of those three people are, you know, your representative, you need to tell them stop. Stop this madness. Now, they may not. But it's just amazing that the CEA has took a stand. I just can't believe it. I can't believe they finally stood up and did this. Now, they've also, they're talking about House Resolution 1201. And this is the Digital Media Consumers Rights Act of 2005. And they want this one passed. And it's a good bill. All right. So one not for and one for. Okay, so CEA says it's time the content industry learned the difference. The big content companies are at it again. They're saying new technologies let us enjoy lawful acquired music when and where we want, but some real pirates at the record labels want to stop Americans from using new products for non-commercial purposes in the privacy of their own homes or on the go. Under proposed legislation, the most basic and well-established consumer practices, such as creating a My Favorites playlist from your satellite radio program or recording free over-the-air radio, could be outlawed. This is serious, folks. Okay? This is how crazy this legislation has gotten. Now, I've ranted 4 minutes on this, and it's already going to take me over tonight again. But I tell you what, I think it's that important. All right? I really, really do. And I have a pile here. I am not going to get through this all tonight. Okay, Tokyo train stations using a facial scan payment system. So if your train pass is essentially expired, you can essentially they use a face recognition system to let you through it, and it bills you. Talk about privacy invasion. They're very, very interesting. And it's only being implemented right now at one station as an experiment. But if they're doing that in Japan, how long before they're doing to us in the States? All right, Seagate's Barracuda 750 gigabyte drive has been reviewed on Engadget. Looks like it's going to be a whopper of a drive. A very good review so far. And expect the price to be around $590 or 79 cents a gigabyte. Okay, Yahoo. Wow, they really did something this weekend. Yahoo Go TV makes Medio and does it for free. Now, Medio is a company that they bought just recently. And they've turned it around just several weeks after acquiring it. So Yahoo Go TV is available online, and I highly recommend that you go over and check this out. It is very obvious that Yahoo really wants to get into the media, continue to get into the media space and go farther. They've got a service called Launchcast. They've got My Yahoo Photos, Featured Videos, Top Box Offices, and it looks like almost a media center type of deal on the net via this interface called Medio. So check it out. It should be well trafficked. They got kind of a funny color scheme right now, but I'm sure that they'll get that squared away soon. All right, those of you that have a Sling Player, well, they've got the Sling Player Mobile has finally been released. This has kind of been in the air over the last couple of weeks, but it is now available. So those of you who have a Sling Player, go ahead and get your Sling Player Mobile. I'll have that linked up. That was from Gizmodo. The Progress cargo spacecraft did dock with the International Space Station, bringing a couple of tons of food, water, and propellant and other supplies and equipment to the Expedition 13 crew. So good on the Russians for getting that up there. Information in eWeek about an irresponsible bug disclosure, and it kind of talks about a guy that essentially, and you know, here's what do you guys think about this? A guy finds a bug in IE. He doesn't think Microsoft's going to respond to it, so he just goes ahead and announces it on a website called Full Disclosure without sending the bug information to Microsoft. Would you guys do that if you were digging around and you found a bug with IE? Would you send the information to Microsoft, or would you just go ahead and tell the world about it? So that's a pretty good article about that. All right, the Electronic Frontier Foundation is going to have an offices opening in Washington, D.C. on August 1st. Good news there. They've got a couple people they've hired. That's going to be a good voice for us in Washington, D.C. Okay, on Saturday, I do want to enter the guy that's going to be speaking for us on the smart drive technology. His name is Scott Corley, and he's with Red Mercury. And if you're any of you are familiar with the Red Mercury products, a lot of cool game products over there, and we're looking forward to having him on the show. Also, I see that podcast.com has acquired a new owner. I was kind of surprised. I knew that the guy that was trying to sell it was asking originally $500,000 for the domain. I see that it's been bought by someone, or maybe it's being rented. I don't know. But it's in revision right now. And they've got a beta site up. So it looks, I'm trying to figure out who's completely behind that right now, who's doing it. And, boy, that's a domain that everyone wanted to get their hands on. Wired has a new featured article called 27B/6, and it is it's a new security blog that they're going to be producing. Looks like going to have a lot of good content on it. Also, there's a new site out called Explorer Destroyer, and for those of you that are using Internet Explorer yet, you're going to get mad when you see what's going on here. They're encouraging website users to kind of help the conversion of people to Firefox by three levels. One, gentle encouragement by putting a badge on the site. Level two, semi-serious, making them have a splash page for IE users before they can click through to the website. And level three, dead serious. And I found a website like this already that because I'm using Internet Explorer inside FeedDemon when I'm doing the show. So I tried to load the page up, and it said, oh, no, you're using Internet Explorer. You have to have Firefox. So it's blocking IE users completely. Now, personally, I will never block any browser on my website. I think it's website suicide to do that yourself. But these guys are, they're serious. And they're trying to promote people to make money with Google AdSense through it, too, by clicking on one of the links to get Firefox. So I'll let you guys look at that. Okay, a little more information on the banning MP3 streaming from Electronic Frontier Foundation. I'll have that up on the website. And there's also a good article on WashingtonPost.com talking about how to juice up your web page rank with your with Google. With that, of course, this podcast has been brought by The new Honda Fit. The Fit is go, immensely strong, impossibly roomy, implausibly versatile. The five-door, five-passenger Fit, inspired by all things powerful beyond their size. Get your high-octane, piston-pimping thrills from a gas-sipping, low-emission vehicle. Lean, mean, clean, mean machine that delivers 38 miles to the gallon on the freeway. Burn, baby, burn. Learn more at the web at fit.honda.com. Again, fit.honda.com. And let me know what you think about these Honda ads. I'd like to provide a little feedback to Honda. And you guys can be as vocal as you'd like to be. Okay? I'd like to hear from you on them. Those weren't written by us, by the way. Okay, what else I got here? I've got, all right, I got some show comments real quick here. Let's get through those. Oh, 50 minutes already. All right, got a some email from, let's see, where's the first one here? Oh, I got a great long email from Carl. He's listening to the show. Where are you at? Oh, you're listening from Sweden. Hey, thanks for the email. It was a very, very informative email. I know that you're getting caught up and that you're on show number 157 right now, so you may not hear this comment for a while, but I do thank you for your very lengthy your comment to the show. I got an email from Andrew, and he says, Todd, you asked for feedback about the form of your show. I'd just like to add my voice to any other comments you get. I think one of the biggest shortfalls in your format comes from a habit that you've only recently developed. Repeating your show name halfway through the show for anyone who listens on the streams both is annoying and redundant. And I kind of tried to explain that a little bit, Andrew, on why I'm doing that. Just remember, we're trying to get those guys that are we want to get them converted over to getting listen to podcasts. And again, you know, I always want to make sure the show gets out as far as possible. And thanks for your comments. They're really, really good. And hey, why don't you send me comments? What should we do to get those guys off the stream and get them over here listening to the show and downloading it? I got an email from Paul asking about my experience with virtual dedicated servers at GoDaddy. And, you know, it's kind of mixed, Paul, because if you depending on your website traffic and how much you're moving will depend on how well a virtual will do. Obviously, a shared host is gives you a certain type of product. A virtual does too, and a dedicated is the ultimate, essentially, experience. But you got to have different levels of knowledge between running a dedicated, a virtual, and also a shared. Shared, anyone can run a shared. I wouldn't say that a virtual dedicated server for a high bandwidth website is probably not a good idea, and definitely don't load media up on it to be served because you are limited in the amount of CPU usage you can have and X amount of RAM. It's that way on any VDS system that you get today. So, you know, I would say if I was going to go from a shared to a virtual to a dedicated again, I would probably go straight from, well, it depends on what you want to do. If you want to run 10 or 20 low-end domains that aren't getting a super lot of traffic or just doing blogs, they're going to work fine, absolutely fine. And you get a lot more bandwidth with them as well. I got an email from Mitchell. He says, hey, Todd, I know you won't be in Second Life too much because you're really busy with everything you do, but just want to tell you that I'm listening to your show for about a year, and it tells me what his Second Life name is. Look forward to seeing you there. Hey, just IM me and or request to be a friend, and when I get online sometime, I'll add you. And come over to the area that we're in. Slack Street is where it's at. You can find that within the search on Second Life, and you can come over there and check out the building. Keith, I've got a promo. I'll play your promo next show. I'm running real long tonight. Also got I just have a whole bunch of stuff here. I don't have time to answer them. Tell you what, maybe I'll do a special segmented show and got to do something about keeping the length down. But we're at 53 minutes already, and I really need to wrap this up. And we'll get to the rest of the comments on the next show. But anyway, hey, thanks so very much for being part of the family here and staying subscribed to the Geek News Central podcast. I really do appreciate it and being part of the Ohana. And look forward to being back with you next Tuesday. There will be a show. Show must go on, so I'm going to be off. So it'll be kind of interesting. I'll have a little extra time to do more prep. And I'm sure that it's going to be a very interesting weekend, to say the least. But as always, you can send your comments to the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can send comments to geeknews@gmail.com, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. And of course, until next time, we'll see you later. And hey, check us out on Saturday on the Roundtable. We want you to come over there and have fun with us. Be a good live event, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern. Until next time, aloha.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.